glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship sweet up, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair.
Everyone, we'll magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 24th, 2019. Joining me on this fun Friday is Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. So I point that out because if you do not have a church family or God's Word is not being preached with regularity and with power and authority because it is God's Word, then I highly recommend you join Jason and I and others at the Community Evangelical Free Church 10:45 service. But you have Sunday school and...
Yeah, at 9:30.
9:30 Sunday school, and that's a great place to fellowship, to grow together in Christ. And I can guarantee you're going to hear God's Word divided and preached. Of course, if you've joined us for any length of time on Fridays or Mondays or whenever I have Jason in, he's been featured with our Memorization Monday. In fact, because of Memorial Day being this coming Monday, we're going to have a little hiatus from our Memorization Monday. For some of you, it'll be like, oh, great, I have an extra week to memorize the verse, but we'll pick that up again in June. But, yeah, Memorial Day's coming up. Time to remember those that have served in our armed forces, those that have defended our country, those that gave their very lives. And the surviving family, we want to honor and appreciate and love on them. But I know many children look forward to it because pools open and they're out of school, except for the Mohammed children.
Yeah.
I mentioned that the other day where, yeah, it's so weird. They have the Memorial Day weekend break, and then they go back on a Tuesday just for that one day.
Just one day. Yeah, that's... My son asked me the other day, he said, Dad, there's really not going to be anything. I should just stay home. And I said, I don't, you'll talk to your mom.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll talk to your mom. And she's like, oh, buddy, I think it's you should need to go. And so he's going.
Yeah.
I punted to mom, and mom was pretty quick to, no, you're going.
Hey, I have a God sighting story. This is one of these that I've been biting at the bit to share because it's just as only God could orchestrate and put together. But let's see, how do I even frame this? Well, basically, last Tuesday, I did a follow-up phone call with an individual. It was actually a couple. They wanted to give monthly to the radio ministry. Mm-hmm. Karen gave me the information, but I wanted to verify whether they still wanted to give this month or start next month. And because usually those that do credit card donations each and every month, it's around the 15th or 16th, and I process them all. So I already processed this month of May. And so anyways, I got this notice that they wanted to start. So I thought, well, I'll call them up and thank them, obviously. Mm-hmm. They want to be monthly givers. They live in Kingman, Indiana. And so I called them up and I said, hey, you know, thank you for considering our radio ministry, a recipient of your monthly donation and such. Do you want to start it this month or next month? And they're very gracious. I talked to the wife and then the husband, and they said, no, go ahead, start it this month. And then I said, oh, by the way, do you read the Prime Life Times? Do you get it over there in Indiana? No, not where we live. And I just said, oh, well, it's a great paper. In fact, we're trying to be more Iliana. We're including more stories about Indiana and such. And so it was kind of a brief conversation. I think we covered a couple other things. He just appreciated the program. I mean, format, the music mix, the excellence in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, I'm so glad to know you get a good signal there in them, their parts. And so, parts. And I always do say our great Indiana listeners, and he kind of smiled. He had heard that. Anyway, so we hang up, and then I call Karen. And I'm like, he had mentioned that the post office in his area had closed, and I'm not sure. Do you have his zip? And so she said, yes. I said, oh, but I don't have the 3-digit code on the credit card, because when you fill out one of these credit card forms, we don't include that 3-digit card number. That way, if it got seen in the mail, anyway, so I usually have to call back. So I thought, oh, I'll have to call him back. So I call him back, and I first talk to his wife again. Her name's Darnell, and she said, oh, hold on a minute, because they gave me the 3-digit number. Robert wants to talk to you again. And I'm like, oh, okay, because we have kind of a fun conversation. I told him a whole story about evangelism at the Rockville Women's Prison, which is a little south of him. And I said, you know, one time we were told the strategy of sharing God's word when you want to evangelize. We were in line visiting an inmate that had listened to Great News Radio. This is many years ago. But prior to that, we had learned, you know, it's always important to have have the individual reading the scripture, like let them read the scripture, let them hold it and view it and recite it. And it was a method in evangelism to get them engaged and involved. And so I just remember being in line and thinking, I don't think we should do this. But anyways, we went forward to sharing and handing them, and I thought, you know what? I don't think this individual can read. And so it was one of these awkward moments and trying to, you know, it was like crashed and burned the first time trying to use this method and the person couldn't read. And anyway, so I told them that story. We kind of laughed. I thought, you know, sometimes a great method doesn't work in all situations and so forth. Anyway, so we talked a little more. And so he said, by the way, tell me a little more about, and he didn't know, like, the Life Times paper. I said, oh, it's called the Prime Life Times. And he goes, well, you know what? I live here in Kingman, Indiana. I can deliver to like Kingman and Clinton or Rockville or Cayuga. Do you need somebody to deliver papers? I'm like, hold on, the heart's beat a little fast. It's like a gift from God. He said, oh, yeah, no, I'd be happy to do that. He said, I work at the Walmart here. I said, Walmart? We're in six other Walmarts. What Walmart? He said, there's a Walmart in Clinton, Indiana. And I said, now what counties? And he said, well, we're in Vermilion and Park County. I said, that would be two new counties to add to our already existing 15 counties. I think we're in four counties in Indiana now, but that'll bring us to five or six. Anyway, so this Robert says, hey, you figure out how to get me papers, and I'll do that. And you know what kind of flips my switch is somebody that's intentional, that wants to volunteer, wants to help. And this guy's willing to cover a number of cities or communities and
that's
deliver.
Cool.
And so, Lord willing, this next week, I'm going to be able to track him down, have lunch with him, and then maybe go to some of these places and figure out how to give him papers. But if there's something that motivates me, it's somebody that's willing to volunteer and serve, that already loves the station.
Yeah.
And, you know, he and his wife are already going to start, actually have started donating monthly. And the sub-story, I didn't know all this, but Karen says, oh, Mark, that was the couple that maybe a year ago or 6 months ago, two different times, they'd called in asking for song information. They heard a song over the air. They really liked the song, and apparently we never got back to them. One of it was an issue of logging on and finding the file, and then Karen couldn't do that, and then it was in my inbox. I don't know. So they never got their song information, and I think they called again. And so recently, a few weeks ago, they called and said, did you ever find out that song information? And I was like, so Karen calls me up. Mark, you know, they called like a year ago or something.
Oh, wow.
And it was a real easy song. I said, oh, I know that song. And the other, like in 3 minutes, I was able to find the exact song, the CD it was on, and so forth. Mm. So Karen replied, and they were like shocked. They said, so what's it take? I mean, how did you this turn around in like an hour? And so anyways, I guess they were so motivated they decided to give monthly.
There you
and
go.
Now they want to serve and deliver papers. So I just thought, oh, only God could have orchestrated how we meet up, and hopefully we'll meet up in person really soon. But yeah, so we're going to make some new inroads, hopefully bring in the Prime Life Times to Clinton, Indiana, Rockville, Kingman, maybe Cayuga. And, oh, and by the way, he works at the Walmart in Clinton. So we're already in six other Walmarts, so I'm really hoping that that'll be authorized. And, you know, Walmarts, you usually go through 300, 400, 500, 700 papers month. So that'll be a big win. But I look forward to meeting Robert in the days ahead. And anyway, so that's my little God sighting, how God orchestrated all that. I got to share it with, we had a sales meeting last Tuesday. And it was right after I got off the phone with Robert. I said, Robert, actually, I have a sales meeting starting right now. I'll talk with the other guys and we'll figure out how to get you papers. So maybe this next week I'll deliver a number of bundles and see where we're going to be at. So if you're an Indiana listener and you don't currently get the Prime Life Times, be looking for it in the days ahead. So,
nice.
Woohoo! Thank you, God. All right. So give me a God sighting story out of God's Word.
Out of God's Word?
Yeah.
Oh, they're all over the place. God is always on the move. You know that? He always just is on the move, no matter where you're at, what you're doing. I think that oftentimes when he's not on the move, it's because we're just not looking. Or we're not praying, or we're not trying to seek the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us or to enlighten us. Or, you know, I had an interesting conversation. I was sitting with a gentleman yesterday, And 18 months ago, he came to me through somebody else that I knew. He was having quite a bunch of problems, and they said, you need to just go see Jason. You should go talk to him. I don't know why that was, because it had to be a God thing, because I don't,
I don't know. I send people your way often.
Yeah. It doesn't always go well. Yeah, you never know.
I send you some tough ones.
Yeah, well, this one was a tough one. This one was definitely a tough one. You know, there was addiction involved, both drugs and alcohol. I mean, there was just a bevy of things. In fact, I'm pretty sure the first time we met, this individual wasn't all there. But I don't know what it was. We talked for maybe 25 minutes at first meeting 18 months ago. And all of a sudden, kind of abruptly, he says, I got to go. I got to go see my wife. And I thought, oh, well, we'll see what this is all about. And then I didn't hear anything from him for a little bit. And then I get a phone call from him. He says, I'm in some other state. I can't, somewhere down south. He says, I'm over here. I'm in a treatment facility. I'll be in here for 45 days, getting clean. I said, wow, okay. Came out of there and started showing up at church and started getting together with me and getting together with some guys on Fridays every now and then.
And your guys on Fridays, it's like a Bible form?
Bible study at Einstein's. And so, but he's come to church and been to church a number of times, and God usually whacks him upside the head at different points during church. But we got together yesterday and we were just checking in and talking. And he was telling me, it was kind of funny because he was saying to me, I just don't know. I don't know if I'm doing good or not doing good. I'm not drinking. I'm not doing this. I'm clean. But I'm struggling with this stuff. So he's telling me these stories. And it was just one of those things where you just look and you're like, Lord, you're so good. Because he's like, last week I was just such a jerk. Now, he didn't use the word jerk. We're still in process. So sometimes the language is a little bit more edgy. But he goes, I was just being a real jerk last week. And I knew I was being a jerk. I'm like, ooh, you knew you were being a jerk. Because that's usually when we're a jerk. We don't know we're being a jerk till afterwards. Yeah. I go, but why? You're being a jerk. He's like, yeah. My wife was telling me I was being a jerk. And I said, what'd you do? He's like, well, she was telling me the truth. So I said, I agreed with her. I'm not sure how not. Wait, I said, wait a second. You were being a jerk. You knew you were being a jerk. And then you accepted it when your wife told you were being a jerk. He goes, yeah. And I go, and then what happened? He goes, and then the end of the week it just kind of went away. And then I went out and I apologized to all the people that I was a jerk to during the week. I go, wait a second, you knew you were being a jerk, you accepted from your wife that you were being a jerk, and then when you were on the back end of it, you went and apologized to everybody you were a jerk to. He goes, yeah. I go, you are killing it. I just want you to know, I know people who think they're going to have king-sized mansions in heaven who would never dream of doing what you just did. Oh, my word. So we're talking, and he's telling me these things that are going on in his life, and I'm just sitting back, and I'm going, this brother needs to get baptized. He needs to. I said, when there's a window here in this conversation, I'm going to say, you need to get baptized. You need to get in that water and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we'd already had a Jesus conversation. So I'm waiting. He's telling me a story, telling me this thing going on, telling me that, showing me his 16-month coin that he's got. I'm like, wow, man, I'm loving it. And so all of a sudden there's like a break in the conversation. And I'm like, well, here I go. Here's my in. And as I'm about to say it, he goes, so what do I got to do to get in the water?
Oh, jeez.
And I just paused. I had to look like an idiot in that moment because I just paused and kind of like, that's what I was going to, yeah, the water.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I was like, so this next Sunday we're going to baptize this brother. But I was pretty excited. God's always on the move.
Right.
That's just a thing. And we think that he's not. We somehow think he's absent, even though he's told us he'll be with us. And it reminded me of this passage. I read it this morning. I was up early. I don't know why, but I got up at like 5 in the morning. I was like, why am I up at 5? And it was one of those things where you're laying in bed and you go, I could go back to sleep. But why? Let's get it. So Mark chapter 4, beginning of verse 35, it says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. He being Jesus said to them, let us go to the other side. And what he's talking about, going from Capernaum over to the Decapolis. Now, many people who haven't been to Israel think the other side is a long way off. Really, if you were to look at where Capernaum is on the north side of the Sea of Galilee and where the Decapolis, which is just over to the, if you're standing on the shore, over to the left, it's really only about a mile and a half, 2 miles. And on a clear day, you can easily see everything over there. And you had Capernaum, which was faithful. It was Jewish. It was Orthodox. Though the Via Maris went right across through there, a huge trade and travel that would take you all the way from, help me out, I can't remember, from somewhere all the way to Damascus.
Yeah, like from Jerusalem or...
No, not Jerusalem, because it would go north. So I want to say that it was like maybe...
Through Nazareth?
Yeah, yeah.
And then down.
Yeah, so maybe it went all the way to Rome. I can't remember exactly. But the Decapolis was a 10-city region that was founded by Alexander the Great. So that was pagan. That was Greco-Roman pagan. The other side of the Sea of Galilee, you have north and kind of kitty corner, you have Capernaum, which is Jewish, Orthodox, faithful, one God, Yahweh. So you have these two different kinds of places. And Jesus is saying to the disciples, let us go over to the other side. And it says, in leaving the crowd, this is the crowd on the side of Capernaum, leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. Listen to this. Nobody really catches this too often. It says, and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Now, why would it say that? Why would it say they took him with him in the boat? Now, by the way, this sounds like kind of callous language for the Son of God, doesn't it? And then it says, just as he was. What does that mean, just as he was? It means just as they saw him, just as they perceived him, just as they looked at him. Well, what did they see when they saw him, looked at him, perceived him? They saw a man. So they took him just as they saw him, just as he was. And it says the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose and waves. By the way, whenever you take Jesus with you, things happen. Things happen.
I was thinking, just as he was, like he wasn't all prepared, he wasn't all dressed up.
No, this is just... Jesus, he's always prepared.
Yeah, well, that's true, that's true.
Look, but, now I mean, you just did it. You were the disciples.
He was as he was. I mean,
but they took him just as he was, just as they perceived him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking onto the boat, so the boat was already filling. So a big storm, boat's starting to fill up with water. But here's the but. There's always a but. Whenever you take Jesus with you, whenever you realize that Jesus, there's a but. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. So imagine this. From your perception, the storm is broken out. The boat is filling with water. You are going to die. And you're like, Jesus, why are you asleep? Why aren't you taking care of this? And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? What a question. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the... Could you imagine this? By the way, I find this comedic, too. Because, you know, it's like this thing is happening. The boat's being tossed to and fro. Think of the opening of the Gilligan's Island, you know. And you have Jesus back there, you know, on the cushion. They come back, wake up, we're all going to die. And Jesus wakes up and he's like, wind, waves, be silent. You know, and the disciples are like, what? But this is amazing. He awoke, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. Why could he say peace, be still? Because he is, as prophesied from Isaiah, the Prince of Peace. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that he knocks down the dividing wall of hostility, that he brings peace to those who are far and all who are near, and all have access to the Father through one Spirit. And it says at that moment the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Why is there a great calm? Because there's a great calm when you trust Jesus, when you trust that Jesus is in charge. Jesus is not sleeping as we think he is sleeping. Jesus is not slumbering as we think he is slumbering. He doesn't have to wake up and stretch out before he can calm the waves and cease, you know, the storm. Jesus can do it in an instant. He speaks his peace into it. But listen, the peace that Jesus ultimately needs to speak is not to the storm, not to the wind, and not to the waves, but to the human heart that goes through the storm and the wind and the waves. Because, friends, the Bible's very clear in Matthew. Matthew chapter...
You got that kind of
background music, right? You got that background
music. Looking through the pages. Like the game show. Yes, you've tuned in to Mark and Friends heard weekday morning, 7:32 a.m. with us. 7:32 p.m.
And everyone hears these words of mine, Matthew chapter 7, and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. The rock of ages, Jesus Christ. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against his house. And it fell. Listen, the faithful person and the unfaithful person experience experience the exact same thing. The wind, the rain, the floods, all of it, they experienced the exact same thing. The difference was Jesus. Why? Because Jesus can speak, peace be still. And then the Bible says this. It says the wind ceased and there was a great calm. It's always a great calm when you realize that you are in the presence of Jesus. By the way, you are always in the presence of Jesus. That's why he gave you his Holy Spirit whom he called the Comforter. See, the job of the Holy Spirit, this is something we don't teach a lot, something we don't talk about a lot, but the job of the Holy Spirit is always to lead us back to the victory of Christ, to lead us back to Christ. He says he will lead you into all truth. Well, who is the truth? Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit's job is to always bring you back to the finished work of Christ, the person of Christ. He's the humble part of the Trinity. And so the Holy Spirit brings us back there to a great calm, to a peace. And then he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? See, he doesn't say, wow, that was a heck of a storm, wasn't it? Wow, I can't believe that we made it out of this thing alive. He goes, I was here all the time. Why didn't you have faith in that? Just because you didn't perceive me doing what you thought I ought to be doing, or didn't perceive that I was active in a way that you needed me to be active, why was your faith so weak in that moment? And it says that they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Because, see, Jesus now upsets their kind of apple cart, because they were thinking of Jesus this way. And now all of a sudden they have to reorientate themselves to who Jesus is, the fullness of Jesus. And in that moment they have to go, wait a second, who is this? Because the way I've defined Jesus is not really the Jesus that God has sent into the world to save sinners. And so this is an amazing story, because maybe you're one of those kinds of people who today it feels like the wind and the waves and everything else is gurgling up around. Maybe it feels like your boat is filling up and you're a follower of Jesus and you don't know what to do right now. And you're crying out, Lord, are you asleep? Are you on vacation? Have you taken a break? Where are you? He's right there. It would be so much worse if he wasn't. Trust me, friends. He is right there. And listen, I rarely know a time in the Bible or in my own life where God says, you know what, I'm just going to eject you out of that situation. Usually what he does is he gives me the faith, the perseverance, and the strength to go through it. He never promises to deliver you, but he says, I'm going to give you daily bread as you go through it. And so, friends, maybe the encouragement for you today in whatever kind of season you are is that the very presence of God stands with you, that there are no winds greater than the presence of God, no waves greater than the presence of God, and nothing that can eclipse his word that can say, peace be still, and to bring a great calm.
Can't think of that verse. It goes something like, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Maybe Peter, First Peter. I don't know. Cast your cares on him because he does, in fact, care for you. He loves you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.